This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck.
Not much has changed. We still talk about murder every week, twice a week. So if you're here for that, you're in the right place. And it's Sadie's night to talk about it.
Yeah, you ready?
I am
ready for this.
Born ready and remain ready. What do we got?
This is the abduction of Heather Teague.
All right. Just abduction?
Just as far as we know.
Oh, God. One of those.
All right. Yeah. On August 26, 1995, 23-year-old Heather Teague was sunbathing on the banks of the Ohio River at Newburgh Beach in Spotsville, Kentucky. What Heather didn't realize that hot summer day was she was being watched.
No! No!
Not just by one man, but by two.
At the same time or separately?
Separately.
No! Shut it.
Just before 1 p.m. on the other side of the river in Indiana, a man named Tim Walthall had his telescope out and said he was watching the birds near the river.
Oh, God.
But other reports said he was a perv who was really watching women on the beach as they sunbathed.
Maybe both. Maybe
probably
both can be
both.
True. Both
yes.
can be true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As he was scanning the beach, he noticed Heather laying on her stomach on the beach lounge chair she had brought with her that day. And as he watched, he saw a man crouching in the woods near where Heather was laying.
I have chills all over my entire body. I mean, people are not necessarily going out of their way to check out my hot bod, but the thought that a person could be watching you, let alone multiple people could be watching you at the same time, is probably the worst thing you've ever said on this podcast.
I completely agree with you.
That's so horrifying.
Yes. Walthall said the man would stand up, take 5 to 6 steps toward the young woman, and then crouch again in the high weeds.
He's
got a telescope. He's watching this happen with his telescope. I mean, it's one, not two, but I mean, God, I hate it.
I'm so scared. And what do you do when you're across the river, right? She's
right.
across the river in another state. I mean, those are big rivers that separate states.
Yes. And he had a high power telescope. So it's not like he was just with binoculars across on the other side of the bank.
I'm so stressed out. Throw rocks. Throw a pigeon.
I know. Air horn. What are those called? Like
yes. Air horns. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep one around just for this occasion, just in case.
Yep.
Oh my God.
He described him to be about 6'1" and around 230 pounds with a noticeable pot belly. He was shirtless with possibly bushy hair and a beard, or maybe was wearing a mosquito netting over his head. And we're going to talk about that more later. So just sort of put that aside for now.
Yeah.
The man was holding a gun.
Oh my God.
And Walthall noticed the man's hands turned into his body in an unusual way.
Mm-hmm.
Tim watched in horror as the man kneeled by the woman and put his arm across her back, which triggered a sudden struggle.
Is he calling 911 at this point?
Nope. The man then grabbed the woman's long brown hair, twisted it around his hand 3 times, pulled her head back, and yanked her off the chair.
I'm going to pass out.
He then dragged her off into the woods.
Oh my God.
After this, Heather vanished.
No, absolutely nope.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum nope.
So this is why I think that Tim was being a little pervy.
Mm-hmm.
So he hesitated to call police.
Yeah.
Afraid he would get in trouble. But he finally decided to call 911 and report what he saw. Unfortunately, 45 precious minutes had passed before police were able to get to the spot where Heather had been.
It's awful.
In one of the interviews I read, they interviewed Tim, and he was like, yeah, I could see in the bushes where she was struggling, like the bushes were moving. And I'm like, how are you just watching, like, please get up and
yeah,
do something. Like, yeah, scream. Let him know that you see him. Like, it can't be that far that you can't make some sort of commotion. Something.
Anything. Literally, like, anything is better than
just sitting
there. He's
in Indiana. Get a gun and shoot it into the air or something. Totally. Like, please.
They're just guns lying in the streets of Indiana. We something. Live there. They're everywhere.
Get in your car and drive. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I just can't. I can't.
Get on your ski-doo. It. And ski-doo, yes, across.
Swim.
There's options.
Jump in the water.
Pontoon. Anything. Anything. Yes. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't.
No.
Okay.
So Tim did give a full statement and worked with a sketch artist to come up with an image of the man he'd witnessed taking Heather. Mm-hmm. The only evidence found after a search of the beach and the surrounding wooded area was Heather's towel, her notebook, and pieces of the red plaid bikini she had been wearing. Mm. A farmer who owned land near the parking lot of the beach had just so happened to be taking video footage of crop damage in his fields, and managed to capture footage of Heather getting out of her car that day.
Wow.
The video showed a red and white Ford Bronco parked near Heather's car. Mm. Mm. As word of her abduction spread and the description of the Bronco and composite sketch were released to the public, tips started to flood in. Many people called to say the sketch looked like a local man named Marvin Dill. Police decided to talk to Dill, and when they went to Dill's property, they found his red and white Bronco hidden in the woods near his mobile home. Mm. It had been freshly cleaned, but they noticed a small bloodstain on the tailgate of the truck. They believed this was the same vehicle that was caught on the tape by the farmer. This case was a little tricky because I found a lot of different information, or like really big parts of what, like things that I would consider really important weren't mentioned very often. And so I don't know if it's true or not. You know, I couldn't,
right.
I yep. couldn't, what's I the word I'm looking for?
I hate that. Corroborate it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like one of the things I read was that he had a specific vanity plate that you could see in the video, and that his Dill's Bronco also had the same plate. So it seemed like police were pretty sure that this Bronco was the same. But I couldn't find that
confirm
out for sure.
Confirm it.
Yes.
I hate
Thank
that.
You. Confirm.
Yes. It happens a lot. If people who are not making true crime podcasts, it's kind of unbelievable how much different information gets put out there.
Right.
Well, you know, and not even just like on Murderpedia or something, but even between like a show where the detectives are talking, you know, like an LA Times article and something, you know, it's like there'll be different accounts and it's really hard to tell which one is true.
Yeah. And especially when we do a podcast like we do, where we're not the journalists, like
being,
I feel like we get into bad cases of telephone sometimes where it's like this article said this thing and then this blogger accidentally changed a piece of it or did it on purpose or whatever. And then, so by the time we get to it, it's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway,
take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Okay, so they saw a bloodstain on the tailgate of the truck, and they believed that this was the same vehicle that was caught on tape by the farmer. Mm-hmm. When they approached Dill's house, his wife came out, but Dill refused. As soon as Dill's wife was outside, police heard a single gunshot and rushed inside to find Dill dead from a single bullet wound to his head.
No! What are those?
Yeah. So police believed Dill's death by suicide was an admission to his involvement in Heather's disappearance, and it proved that he was the one who had attacked her.
I mean, certainly doesn't look good, that's
no,
for sure.
No. They learned that a few months before Heather disappeared, Dill was pulled over because of reports from concerned citizens who saw him driving around Evansville, Indiana, trying to, quote, pick up young girls.
Ugh.
And this is another thing. Some of the reports I read said it was just a traffic stop. Uh-huh. Doesn't say anything about the very important piece of picking up young girls, trying to.
Yep.
In his vehicle, police found two guns, two knives, rubber gloves, duct tape, and rope.
Also, does not look good.
No.
God.
Dill was arrested, but with no evidence he'd committed any crimes that day, he was later released. Dill was also a suspect in the sexual assault of a woman in Oak Grove Cemetery in Blackford, Kentucky, after someone tipped off police that he could be their suspect, but because of a partial disguise the perpetrator wore over his face, the victim was not able to positively identify him, so he was never charged for the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators brought Tim Walthall into the morgue to look at Dill and see if he was the man he'd witnessed on the beach, but Tim noticed Dill's head had been shaved and wasn't sure if it was the same person. It turns out Dill, who usually had bushy hair and a beard, had been forced to shave his head and face while in jail because of a lice outbreak 2 weeks before Heather was attacked.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big detail.
Yes. Investigators weren't able to match the blood found on the Bronco to Heather, and no other evidence was found linking her to Dill.
So maybe Dill shot himself because he had been doing other naughty things, but he didn't do that naughty thing, and he got scared, and he just, yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
Got it.
So Dill's family, including his wife, refused to cooperate with police or answer any of their questions. In a grand jury deposition, Dill's wife pleaded the fifth and stayed quiet.
Hmm.
So without any solid evidence or other good leads, Heather's case grew cold.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators tried to comfort Heather's family and told her mom, Sarah, that they believed Dill had been the one to take Heather that day, but Sarah couldn't rest without knowing where her daughter was or if she was dead or alive.
Right.
Totally understand. We don't
have a body or anything. Yeah.
Right. When there was no more movement in the case, Sarah started to ask for more information from the Kentucky State Police. She was able to learn that at some point in the years after Heather's disappearance, the FBI got involved in the investigation. But it's still pretty unclear why.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors started to spread that Heather had been involved in an undercover drug operation of some sort and had possibly been moved to the witness protection program. But those rumors were never substantiated. And also, if somebody's attacking, like, if that's how you get moved into the protection program, like, you know?
You have to go into hiding. You right have now. To. I'm going to drag you by your hair into hiding. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unless the person that she was trying to hide from got to her before they could put her in the protection program,
but still, yeah.
An FBI agent wrote in 2005, quote, "Presently, attention is primarily being focused on the strong possibility of drug/prostitution in, quotes, strip club/public corruption link to Heather Teague's abduction." So that's a lot of things, like possible drug, his words, prostitution, public corruption.
Yeah.
Investigation continuing is what his memo said. And in 2007, an FBI synopsis of the case also mentioned that something which was redacted in the memo was being, quote, kept a secret by the KSP, by the Kentucky State Police.
Mm-hmm.
No family member or attorney is aware of it, the memo said.
I don't understand what that means.
It just means that it was a heavily redacted memo that Sarah was able to get from the FBI.
Uh-huh.
And that there was some sort of secret being kept from everybody.
Uh-huh. This is like Johnny Gotch stuff.
Right. So the Kentucky State Police is keeping something hidden from everybody. Some, holy, whether it's a piece of evidence or we don't know. But nobody's in on it.
Interesting.
So as Sarah dug deeper, she started to suspect that the KSP, the Kentucky State Police, it sounds really, like, when I say KSP, it sounds really like mysterious. Yeah, so I feel like maybe I'll just say, I'll stop saying that. Because they're not very mysterious. So they were trying to cover up information in her daughter's case.
Hmm.
In 2008, after years of asking, authorities finally let Sarah listen to the 911 call from Tim, the guy who saw.
Yep.
The abduction. When she asked to listen again in 2016, she said they had her listen to a doctored call. It was different from the first tape she'd heard.
What is happening?
According to Sarah, in the 2008 call, Tim said that the man could have had bushy hair and a beard, or may have been wearing that mosquito netting or a wig.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 2016, when she listened again, she said Tim did not mention the netting or the wig.
What the
Sarah
hell?
Even took the Kentucky State Police to court to force them to release parts of Heather's case file to her. The KSP refused, but a judge ruled in Sarah's favor. They had to give her the 911 calls and pay $25,000 in legal fees.
Wow.
Yep. Sarah believes police were trying to make Dill fit into the evidence by adding the mosquito netting or wig information after the fact, but that Tim hadn't originally said those things.
Got it.
So in the first call was doctored in 2000, the one that she listened to in 2008, and then they gave her the wrong version in 2016 without that added information, is what she's thinking.
Interesting. So they added the mosquito net bushy hair thing.
Yeah, or they had Tim call again, or who knows how they doctored it, but that's what she's thinking. That's what Sarah's thinking.
How weird.
And in the where she took them to court, there wasn't any dispute that she had actually heard two different versions of the call. So it's not like she just misheard. And her attorney was with her when they listened to the 911 call, so it definitely was two different versions. So that really did happen.
Weird.
So weird.
Like, I can understand wanting to pin it on this guy, but there's nobody pushing back. It doesn't sound like you can just, he's dead. He killed himself. You can just be like,
case and Sarah's closed. Pushing back, and that's it. But even so, you can just say, you know, she's a grieving mom.
Right.
Who wants more answers than we have. This is what we have, period. Right.
It's not, you wouldn't make two calls unless you were covering something up.
Right.
You know, legitimately.
What? Like, what are they trying to cover up? And that's, I'm sorry, police guys.
Police involvement? Something. Police involvement?
Yes. I mean, it's got to be something like that, right?
Johnny Gotch stuff? I don't know.
I don't know either. So Sarah does not believe that Dill was responsible for Heather's abduction. Hmm. She found FBI reports that a witness came forward and said that Dill had shaved his head 2 weeks before, like we already talked about, and claimed that Dill died by suicide because he was growing marijuana on his property when state police surrounded his home, and he didn't want to go back to prison. Sarah thinks the witness sketch was prepared from Dill's driver's license picture, and that they were an identical match down to the shadows on his face. Sarah said she first saw the composite sketch published alongside a news story about 6 weeks after Heather's abduction, and Dill died like 3 days after the abduction. And so then all of a sudden this, I have pictures. I'll put, like, do a side by side, but they are identical. It looks like, you know,
an exact sketch of his driver's license.
Yes.
What the hell?
And then there's a different picture of different sketch of his full body. And that one doesn't look the same. So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So if Dill wasn't responsible, then who was? The other person who often comes up as a possible suspect is a man named Christopher Bellow. Bellow is currently, well, I was hoping that he was currently in prison, but I don't think he is anymore, so gulp. Currently in prison for the manslaughter of his ex-girlfriend, Catherine Fetzer. In 1991, Bellow and Catherine had a brief summer affair. They were both 26 years old and married to other people. It wasn't uncommon for Bellow to drive by Catherine's house when he wanted to see her. His loud muffler would be the signal for Catherine to leave her home and meet him at the nearby grocery store parking lot so they could spend time together. This went on for a few months, but when the guilt got to be too much for Catherine, she called things off with Bellow. A few months later, on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving in 1991, Catherine left a note for her husband, who still had no idea his wife had cheated on him, saying that she was, quote, restless and going to the mall. When she didn't return home that night, her husband had no idea where she could be, and she was never seen again.
Oh, no.
Deputies would find her locked car a day later, about 20 miles away from her house, in a gravel truck turnaround. The car had been wiped clean. There were no fingerprints, no bloodstains, no clues, and no sign of Catherine.
Wow.
Her husband would eventually find a box she kept hidden away that had a letter from Bellow inside, and this is how he learned of the affair. He told police what he'd found, and Bellow quickly became a suspect in Catherine's disappearance. Investigators interviewed Bellow's wife, and she said a friend of her husband's had been at their apartment on the day Catherine disappeared to help Bellow move a car that looked like Catherine's. When they talked to the friend, he said Bellow asked him to move the car, which was the same make and model as Catherine's. He followed him to the same spot where Catherine's car was later found and watched as Bellow sat in the car and wiped it down with a rag. He then brought Bellow home.
Doesn't look good.
No.
None of it looks good. Nothing. No, none of this looks good.
No. Detectives were sure that Bella was responsible for Catherine's disappearance, but didn't have enough for an arrest. Like Heather's case, Catherine's would go cold.
God.
When When a new detective took over 8 years later,
oh my God,
he was determined to prove that Bella had caused Catherine's disappearance. After looking into Bella's history, he believed it was possible Catherine wasn't his only victim.
Mm-hmm.
When he searched an apartment abandoned by Bella, he found a missing persons flyer and a briefcase that was left behind. First of all, like, who has briefcases? Like, this kind of guy, you know, he's got a briefcase that he's leaving behind in his apartment. Like, right. I don't like that.
Attaché case. He has an attaché case.
Because he works for the KSP.
Yeah, seriously.
So this missing persons flyer was for a 16-year-old girl named Christina Porco, who went missing from South Carolina in November of 1986. Christina left her home in Hilton Head, South Carolina, after getting into a fight with her mother. She had called a friend and asked them to meet her at the pool in their apartment complex. When her friend arrived, Christina wasn't there, but she had left behind her red sweater. She was never seen again.
Where are all these ladies? This is Johnny Gotch stuff.
Yes. I mean, I didn't get into all of them, but there are like multiple people that, like, mostly web sleuths thinks that Bella is connected to.
Yeah.
But it's just like never ending. And then this person disappeared and they've never seen again. And this person, and they all looked the same. And it's just like, how are we not finding these?
Because they were trafficked.
Yeah.
Really something. Trafficking.
But like, still, just not a shred of evidence to where they are, who did it. It's really upsetting.
It's extremely upsetting. Totally bizarre. Totally bizarre.
Yeah. So the detective was intrigued and started looking into other women who had gone missing or had been murdered in areas where Bella had lived. Mm-hmm. This is when he came across Heather's case. Bella was known for his scraggly hair and beard, his pot belly, and for the way his hands turned in at an odd angle.
Ding, bing, bing, bing.
He bore a striking resemblance to the composite sketch of Heather's attacker, even the one that looked identical to Dill. The two guys looked a lot alike.
Yeah, no matter how you slice it, Bella, it's not looking good for Bella either.
No. It turned out that Bella was living in Kentucky in 1995 when Heather was abducted. 3 days after the abduction, which just so happened to be the same day that Dill died by suicide, Bella left town. Both Dill, Heather, and Bella hung out with some of the same people. A phone call that was placed by Heather on the night before she disappeared was made from a payphone outside a bar that Bella liked to go to.
Hmm.
There is also a striking resemblance between Heather Teague and Catherine Fetzer and also Christina Porco.
Mm-hmm.
They honestly could all three be sisters.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. So in an interview, Bella's sister told journalists that she let her brother stay with her for a while in 2000. She lived in Evansville, Indiana, just across the river from where Heather was abducted. She told reporters that her brother had a favorite spot that he liked to visit along the river on the Kentucky side.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "He liked the area of the lock and dam," she said. "It just so happened to be the same spot where Heather was last seen."
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "He would go off on his own like he was looking for something," she said. "He would get quiet and seem to become reclusive whenever he talked about the beach."
It's not good when your own sister's
no
suspicious of your
no
beach special beach spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She also said he kept a box of odds and ends with him. He once told her if anything ever happened to him, she should keep it safe.
Not your mementos, bro. Mm-hmm. Not your creepy creep mementos. Trafficking serial killing mementos.
She looked in the box and found it contained important papers, but it also had a collection of women's jewelry inside. When he saw her looking through the box, he moved his belongings into a different box that had a lock. Police have tried to find this box, but haven't been able to locate it.
I just don't even know what to say.
There's really, yeah, what can you say?
Yep.
Finally, in November of 2003, Bella was arrested after being accused of molesting his niece.
Mm.
And I didn't get into, I mean, fuck this guy. He was a monster. Just like abusive and married a million times and raping everybody. And it's awful.
Yep.
While in custody, police were able to get him to confess to killing Catherine Fetzer. And the detective was like, yeah, it took about 4 hours, but I finally got him to crack.
Good Lord.
He said he'd shot her in his apartment and then threw her body in a dumpster.
And this was manslaughter charge. You get manslaughter for her?
They just don't have any evidence, I think.
Except for his confession.
Right. But I think even then, it's not going to hold up. I think he confessed and then pleaded. He pleaded guilty in exchange. They gave him a manslaughter charge.
Got it.
Yeah. He said that he killed her because of the affair. Because she'd called off the affair. So he pleaded guilty to manslaughter and was sentenced to 11 to 18 years in prison. I couldn't figure. I'd try to find him in the Ohio inmate system, and he's not there. So I'm pretty sure he's out. Yeah, he was due to be released in 2021. So I think he did his 18 years. Oh my god,
that is terrifying. This guy's out there.
I know, and in like probably Indiana. So
well done, dude.
Thank you. I really, honestly, I realized this right before we started recording, and I was like, shit. Like, he should be out by now. If it was 2003, and then it's, like, 18 years later, and
he's probably out. How old is he now, then? Can I take him? Can I take him?
Well, he was 26 when in 91. Yeah.
No. He's barely older than me.
No.
Oh, no. I was 11, so he's 10 years old. Yeah, he's not that old. He's only in his 50s. I can't take a 50-year-old man. I was like, is he 75 or older?
He's not coming for you. He's coming for me. Maybe
take it. He'll get to you through me. Sounds sadistic. You know, and then you have to live with the guilt and stuff. But damn it.
If he's coming from the South, he has to literally, like, go through me first. So, anyway. God, I hate this. But, yeah, I was like, uh-oh.
Us aside, like, that is very scary. He's scary.
He is scary.
Is trafficking women or he's serial killing women. Either way. He's 50. He's in prime shape to continue that shit. Probably learned some cool techniques in prison on how to do it better.
I know.
And he was already doing it extremely well.
I know.
This is not good.
No, it's not good. I honestly was like, shit, dude, he's out. That's not good.
No.
So investigators haven't been able to find any evidence to charge Bello with Heather's abduction, but believe he's capable of killing others. I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
An FBI profile of Bello says he has many of the traits often found in serial killers. Investigators say they are looking into other cases to see if he could be a suspect for those as well.
Hurry up. Seriously,
I don't think they're looking very hard. So nearly 30 years have passed since Heather disappeared, and sadly, we don't know if she is dead or alive. In October 2021, human bones were found in the area where she went missing, but they were ruled out as hers. And I couldn't find out who they belonged to.
Yeah.
I tried to find, but they didn't say. Her mother has now spent more time looking for her daughter than she did parenting her.
I can't.
I know. Sarah will never stop trying to find justice for her daughter and just wants to know where she is. Ugh. When talking about Heather, she said, quote, "So many things are in your heart that are always there. My memories are now frozen with missing posters. I kind of wonder sometimes if she was even real."
That is so devastating. That is so sad.
And that's the story of the abduction of Heather Teague.
Get the word out, everybody. Get it out. This guy is dangerous, extremely dangerous. And this poor girl just completely vanished. Nothing. No trace.
Nothing. No.
That is so strange. How is that possible?
Well, I think it starts with telescope guy not doing anything.
Not doing anything.
And just like sitting on his lore. I don't want him to think I'm a peeping creepo. I don't know.
And then, everybody, rush out and get like one of those chuckets that you have for like Labradors. You know, just have one. Just keep it by your telescope in case you see something that you need to warn somebody. Have like some rubber bands with some notes nearby so you can just real quick creep in the bushes, rubby bandy, Chucky, saved.
Yep. Flash grenades.
Flash grenades. Smoke bombs.
Air horns.
Bullhorn. That's, yes. There you go. You just, if you're going to have a high-powered telescope, you also need a high-powered bullhorn. You need to be able to project your voice across the exact distance that the telescope allows you to see.
Yes. Yep.
It's the responsible thing to do.
Ryan got one of those like high-powered flashlights. It's his new toy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were laughing. It's probably not funny because it's kind of true, but we live really close to a army base.
Yeah.
And he was like flashing it up into the sky. I was like, they're going to come and tell you to turn that off. Like,
totally.
It's going to mess with some sort of something.
A bunch of uniformed officers are going to show up and be like, bro.
But if you got one of those, you could flash it even in the daytime. It's so high powered. Get him in his eyes and he can't see anymore.
Yeah. SOS her. SOS.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to have a plan for this. Also, or just use your telescope to look at the outer space and not the ladies on the beach.
Right.
If you're pointing your telescope down toward Earth, chances are you're going to get into some sort of trouble.
Yep.
One way or another.
Don't do it. Just don't look. Just keep your eyes closed at all times.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to witness terrifying, awful things.
See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
Right.
Box self in it, close it.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
So,
nothing bad could ever happen to you.
you heard it here first, folks.
God, that is so spooky and so sad, and no thank you. Mm-hmm. 50 kinds of scary in that one.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
And I'm like, terrifying. How? Yeah, the sister knows that he's a creep, so surely somebody knows something. The police obviously know something because they're trying to cover it up.
Right. I don't understand that. I still don't understand what that's all about. Like, who? Because it doesn't seem like they would be covering it up because this other total creep did it.
Unless he's somebody's friend or somebody's helping him.
He only got 11 to 18 years for full-on murder.
Yeah.
Another person, so.
Exactly. So something suspicious-y there.
Mm-hmm.
Very suspicious-y. I don't know what to say about that one. Yeah,
there's nothing else to say, really.
Mm-mm. And that's fine, because we have a whole heap of names to go through this week, you guys.
Let's do it.
A whole heap of names.
It's name time!
I was in Portland last week, and so we front-loaded the last episode, so we didn't have any names, and now we have too many names! Can you have too many names? No!
No. If you're listening at work, this is time to unplug your headphones so the whole office can hear.
I don't think that the main feed got that story. I think that was a Patreon story. Yes.
Oh, shit.
One of our Patreon listeners commented on our Patreon that they pulled out their headphones thinking, you know, normally your computer registers that the headphone is gone and stops playing whatever you're playing. But she pulled it out right when the "It's name time" happened.
I like boss and coworker heard. And
yes. She had to explain what that was and why she was listening to it.
So
and then
funny.
She lost her job and now she's houseless. And we ruined her life through name time.
Some rent.
She's not. She's still very happily jobbed and housed.
We hope. We don't really know.
I know. If you're struggling, let us know. We'll do a GoFundMe.
Yep.
Anyway, in the meantime, somebody was watching Destination
so
Truth.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Somebody's having an attack.
I just needed the attention back on me for a minute.
Yeah, apparently. I thought you were just getting too excited for name time again.
I am.
They went to a city named Trashy Gang. That's where I live. City's in Onacock, Virginia, and I'm in Trashy Gang. Did you come out? Did you see Dr. Box? Yes, Dr. Boxer Wackler.
See, I'm so glad you keep these because I forget. I always think I'll remember. Yes.
Dr. Boxer Wackler did an eye transplant, right?
Yes.
Like an actual eyeball transplant.
Cornea.
Yes.
Cornea transplant. I was so confused. I was on TikTok and this like young girl was talking about her eye transplant, and I didn't know the history. You know how TikTok does.
Yeah.
She was talking about her doctor, real casually, Dr. Boxer Wachler. I was like, is it an eye transplant? Because it was in Beverly Hills. I made a lot of assumptions. But I thought she just got like new eyes because she didn't like her. No, that's not what's happening. It was because she needed help seeing. And
she can see now. Thank you to Dr. Boxer Wachler. Carla Hunt, which K Hunt is her last name, if you want to count, divorced Richard Dick Hunt. We all know why. We all know why they didn't work out. I was in Portland. Yes, Milwaukee, Oregon. And Crumb Packer for Congress
was assigned. Crumb Packer?
Crumb Packer for Congress.
Wow, he needs to win.
Also, Vance Canner. I think that's another political sign I saw in Milwaukee, Oregon. So you guys have a heated race out there. Yes. Crumb Packer versus Vance Canner. Who will win?
Well, you know who's here, who's running for prosecutor here?
Who?
We've actually talked about him in our very first episode.
Rod Cox.
Lance Hamner.
You're kidding me.
No, he was a judge, and now for some reason he's running for prosecutor, which, like, something must have happened. I don't know. I don't need to keep up with the local politics over here. But Lance Hamner is... So it's all over everywhere. It's Lance Hamner with a hammer and an elephant.
Someone lancing, like, lancing a cyst.
Yeah, right? That's right. I would vote for him if he'd do that. Anyway, Lance Hamner needs to go against... What?
Vance Canner. Tonight's debate's Lance Hamner versus Vance Canner. There's also, we're driving through West Lynn, Oregon, and there is a Chow Mein lane. And I was like, excuse me very much? Well, also racist-y, right? Oh, like, what? Yeah. And it's in the Oriental apartment complex.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes, okay, but I looked it up, and they're constantly trying to get it changed. There's always, like, change.org petitions and stuff to get it changed. But apparently, there was some sort of lawsuit that the person who, like, previously owned the Oriental apartments or some... There was some dispute... And he somehow convinced, like, the city planner or whatever to allow him to name the lane that went into the apartment complex. And he named it the most offensive and, like, absurd thing he could think of, which is Chow Mein Lane. So
that's shocking.
Everybody would go sign that petition because it is so strange to be driving down, like, Highway 49 or whatever. And just be like, excuse me? Did I just see that correctly? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. There's a Jacob Butterf, B-U-T-T-U-R-F-F.
Butterf.
No, Butterf. and Brigida Taco. I don't know how you pronounce that, but it's spelled Taco. there's a given name, Shelby. So it does happen. Proven. Yes. Correct.
I'm going to go back. Name all of my children Eck.
There's a photographer for the New York Times, September Dawn Bottoms. Kazen Anderson.
Kazen Anderson.
Kazen for that name. Dr. Harry Pepe and Associates. I think it's Pepe. But I think he's a urologist too. Dr. Harry Pepe and Associates. Yes. But it looks like Pepe. Larry Flesh Sims.
Yes.
Bonnie Bacon. Ginger Bacon. Cinderella Almond.
What? That's gorgeous.
So gorgeous. Cinderella Almond, don't be crazy. Mm-mm. Anita Glaze, and then parentheses, donut. Anita Glazed donut, darling.
I'm hungry.
Deborah Sour Beer.
Nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Candace Weed Butts. And Sunflower Begay. You guys, this is real. This is real life. This is real humans with these real names. If you don't believe in miracles, then you are not listening enough close to enough. The name section of this podcast. Because
Sunflower Begay.
Almond. Cinderella Almond. Ugh. It's just remarkable. Larry Flesh Sims. Unreal.
We had someone on Instagram talk about visiting... Let me look it up real quick. I think maybe you missed it.
Yeah, I was out of commission last week. Somebody also sent an email with a bagillion names in them, but I need to respond to them because I couldn't tell which were first names and which were last names. So if you're listening and I'm not reading the bagillions of amazing names you sent, it's because they came through like in a clump and I couldn't tell where they started and where they stopped.
This person said that they were in New Hampshire, drove by Butman Cemetery on Butman Road. New Hampshire.
I don't want Butman to be buried.
Cemetery.
I would get buried in Butman Cemetery on Butman Road. For sure.
Me too.
How do you want to cremate? Do you want to be cremated?
Me? Yeah. Yeah, or like science stuff, like could be a body cadaver
farm. Yeah, be body farm.
Or I mean again it's all about TikTok. There is a human composting place.
Ooh, give me the shivers.
But it's all like super controlled, right? And clean, and then you just start turned into soil, and then your family gets... Anyway, it seems actually
that
pretty
seems cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I donate my soil.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
Or just like put me back into the earth. It's cool.
Totally. Except I just burn up all the plants with all the margs in my system.
They're like, oh, the soil's not going to work. No.
But like the tequila's fine. She was able to process that. But her blood and her water, all of her fluids are 75% acidic from so much lime consumption.
Yes.
She's just burning scorched earth, just burning up the lawn and stuff. So I'll probably just go to the body farm, which will probably do the same thing. I'll just burn everything up and ruin their facility.
Help in anything. Yeah, we were doing great until Courtney X's body came around and lit the whole place on fire.
She contaminated all of it. She threw off the pH of the entire cadaver field.
Everything, all of the centipedes ruined. Died.
We were just on the right about to catch, what's the guy's name from this episode that is escaped, that is out of, just about to catch Bellows. Her acid body burned up the decomp that we were working on and slipped right through our fingers once again.
Damn it, Courtney.
So sorry, guys.
But I guess he probably was the one that murdered you, which is why you're at the body farm.
True. Shit. So true. This case is tragic. I would have caught my own murderer, but instead,
it too many it all to the ground.
Too many Patron margaritas. What are you gonna do?
Nothing. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna be really sad that you're dead.
Well, speaking of margs. What do you got for us for this week for Shouty Outies? Who has joined our Patreon recently?
So many people. You guys are just geniuses.
You are geniuses. There's no better place to put your money. Not the ACLU. Mm-mm. Not Planned Parenthood.
Not. That's all. Those two places.
Yeah. Those are the only options. Not the Sierra Club. Is that still a thing? Not. Greenpeace. I'm trying to think of all the 90s organizations that we've
World PETA. Wildlife Federation.
Yep.
So these are our new patrons. You can sign up too for as little as $3 a month.
Yep. And we're gonna put out, we had a little bit of a snafu with our PayPal. It's a very boring and long story, which I will keep to myself, but delayed getting our goodies for our Patreon supporters, so we're gonna get them very soon. And then if you sign up now, then you can get in on this round.
Yeah, I actually am starting to 10,000 fill months. Out envelopes right now. I started yesterday, so
yes,
get in get it good while the getting's good.
Get right? in and That's get it good. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much to Jenna S.
Genesis, she's the beginning of the earth and the beginning of everything. Everyone comes from Genesis, and she was the alpha and omega and the sun and the moon and all of it, and not in a disrespectful way to people who believe in God and the Bible, in a cool way, like she can be that too, because yes. she can, because she is, and get over it if it you don't believe it because it's true.
Thank you so much to Nicole S.
Mm-hmm. Get a drink of water. Mm-hmm. Get ready. Because when I talk about Nicole S., it kind of it takes me to a place that I really love to go. And I need to
Oh, you know where?
Hydrated. Where?
To Portland, Oregon, where Nicole lives.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, you're our people. We are.
What if she lived on Chowmain Lane?
I was going to say that, but I'm pretty sure that Nicole would not live on Chowmain Lane. Mm-hmm. I know that the housing market in Portland is rough. It's competitive. It's expensive. But even then, I think Nicole's standards are so high that she would not live on Chowmain Lane. In fact, she would petition. She's probably running for Senate right now to on the platform of getting rid of that racist ass street name, because that's the kind of person she is. Mm-hmm. She'll just like go way out of her way and for causes that are important, that help other people, mm-hmm. and that are just not tacky and fucking racist.
Right.
She's amazing.
Yes.
She's amazing.
She is amazing.
Yeah. She's saving fucking trees out there. She's the reason it's so beautiful in Portland is because of Nicole S.
I mean,
I don't know if you knew that. Yeah.
I didn't.
You think it's the rainfall, but it's not. It's her presence. It's her. God. Yeah. You just drive around. You're like, holy shit. There's another mountain. Oh, the gorge. Oh, there's fucking moss on moss on trees. There's like foliage on foliage because of Nicole S. God. It's all her.
She needs
and
to
the
come
food's
to
good because of her, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. Nicole, come visit.
Food
Make Indiana
to be
a little greener.
And mediocre in Portland until Nicole S. showed up and then. Toro Brava, baby. Ramen. Alder and Sons. Tasty and
so hungry. Stop. I'm going to die of hunger.
Chabatai.
Thanks for nothing, Nicole. thank you so much to Ashley B.
Ashley B. Attitudes. Remember the Beatitudes? What are the Beatitudes? What are the Beatitudes?
I don't know.
She is the origin of those. I'm just taking this to a religious place this week, you guys, because you make me feel religious. You make my soul sing on fire. And when I hear about Ashley B., I think of, one moment, while I Google what the fuck Beatitudes are. Be aggressive. No, they are not. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is... Ah, that's the Beatitudes? Really? Mm. Let's make up some new Beatitudes for Ashley B. Blessed is her, everyone who ever meets her, who's around her, whoever sees her and hangs out with her. Also, blessed is her whole life and all of her friends and herself and her face when she looks at her own self in the mirror, because she's so radiantly wonderful, beautiful, kind, and considerate. Those are the Ashley B. attitudes.
Yes.
So, yes. I'm really trying not to be sacrilegious, but you people make me feel so good inside.
Thank you so much to Kayla L.
Kayla la 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 Kayla Ellen. Kayla L is on the fall in the hell. Going down into hell to get to Kayla L, because she's down there making all the hell better. Because she's so good, she can do that. She's an amazing person who can go into hell. Make it a better place, because she's Kayla L.
Oh, thank you so much to Christina L.
Oh, God. Christina L. is not in hell, because it was made too good that she couldn't go there because she's too good to go to hell. So that's not an issue. But what's her name? Christina? Okay, Kayla and Christina. Okay. Yeah. Christina L. stands for, you have the B attitudes. For her, I have the L attitudes. Ooh. Like the latitudes. Get it?
Get it.
The Christina latitudes are love each other, love yourself. Lovely is Christina L. And also live, laugh, love. She coined that. She invented it. So if you were using that one, you're going to have to license it from Christina, live, laugh, love. And also the last Christina latitude is languish longingly, lovingly in Louisiana. You deserve it. You have earned this vacation. Treat yourself. Hashtag self-care. It's an awkward one. It's the more awkward of the Christina latitudes, but
I love it.
You know, who yes. doesn't want to languish lovingly in Louisiana? Hashtag self-care.
One more?
I don't know. I really feel like I'm taking this to a very tricky place religiously. I mean, no disrespect. More. Okay.
One more.
All right.
This. Thank you so much to PJO.
What? PJO?
PJO.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. It's from like Canada.
PJO. PJO stands for putting jams on it, putting them right on it, putting jams right on it every day and every night, putting jams on it, putting jams on it, putting them right on it.
See, I knew this would be a good one to end on.
Thank you for dragging me out of my just like very pseudo sacrilegious rant. Right. I definitely hope you all mean that I mean that with the most love and least disrespect possible. To the Christians listening, obviously not yes. the Patreon supporters. They're fucking rad. They get it. Said it before. God, I'm not Christian. It's just, oh, I saw a really good thing, actually, speaking of that. I saw a thing that was like the rejection of Christianity as like the sort of organized, sort of, you know, dominant mm-hmm. creepy religion is like the most Christ-like thing you can do.
100%.
Right? Yes. Like, yeah. It's not sacrilegious. It's Christ-like. So
exactly right.
I'm not Christian.
No.
Because Christ fucking ruled.
No, like the Jesus lessons of Jesus. Yes. So behind. I'm 100% behind.
Yes.
Everything else? No.
All the Beatitudes, all the K-latitudes, mm-hmm. all of them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Christ ruled.
Right. Like yes. I think you and I get each other.
Everyone else tanking in the ratings, tanking in the listenership, but you and that's I are right. fine. We understand. So yeah.
I'm sitting here realizing that some of our upcoming patrons for next week are from the Netherlands and from Norway, which is very exciting, but I need to be sending some emails to find out how to pronounce their names correctly.
Good. Good time to pause.
That's right.
Reconvene. I will cleanse myself of my heathen ways for next time.
Yes.
So that I'm really careful not to offend loving people who are good people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for being here, everyone.
Shit, fuck yeah. We love you so much.
Oh, I'm choking again. I don't know what is happening. It's because I'm hungry.
I'm also hungry. Laura's getting me a Beto, as Sadie's youngest once called it, and it will forever be called a Beto, which stands for burrito.
What
if you couldn't make the leap?
A Beto.
Oh,
God.
Beto. Smothered him.
Yeah.
I want to be smothered in Betos. So I will tell you guys to come find us at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and now TikTok. Watch us awkwardly navigate TikTok at They Will Kill.
No, we put out two videos, and I was like, I'll just keep it quiet until we can get more up. And then one of them has like 10,000 views. It feels so exciting.
People love true crime, man. It is always a hit.
I think they just come for my my stellar performance.
Yeah, so he's nailing it. Green screened it, all of it, all the things. Yep. I tried to use a sound. They don't have long enough sounds for the 3-minute videos.
Oh.
They have only about a minute 30 seconds, which, whatever. yeah, go check it out. Please find it, subscribe to it, fucking
do the thing,
comment on it,
whatever.
Yeah. We got a YouTube comment that was like, it always surprises me when people with absolutely terrible voices decide to make podcasts. I was like, I have been saying that since the beginning. Nobody needs to listen to my voice. Sadie's voice, fine. Courtney's voice, horrible. Chalkboard meets fucking cat fornication.
We also got a comment just a minute ago. I think it was on TikTok that made me LOL. Oh, it was about I did one of the TikTok videos on Paris Bennett, the creep who murdered his baby sister.
Yeah.
And this person said, oh, we don't need to listen to it. Stop giving your kids cow's milk and too much meat.
Sound advice. Sound advice.
I mean, just do that and then we won't have any, like, seriously psychopathic children running around doing terrible things to their siblings. Simple.
Simple. Meat and milk. Get it out of there. Unbelievable. Well, yeah. Also, you can go to our website, They Will Kill. You can email us at theywillkill.com, and you can, is that it?
Rate, review, subscribe.
You can rate, review, subscribe. We got one more sex gang. Guys, if you want your stuff, I still haven't gotten your addresses. I mailed out my taxes today. I could have mailed them to you.
Yeah.
Certified that right to your fucking house. So if you want something from me, just send us your address and I'll send it to you something. I would like something, so I would send me my own address.
Yeah, we'll send you AJ Bergantz, who is amazing, and we want to always thank him for his music.
Thank you so
just
much.
Send him. Just put him in the mail and send him straight to you.
Yeah, put him in a crate with a keyboard, a synth, or some sort of piano, and it'll just come rolling out, playing our theme song. Yeah, that's how it goes. I can't think of how it goes now. Is that how our song goes? Ding. Does now. Does go like that now. Oh, Lord God.
And remember, don't feed your kids too much milk meat.
No meat and milk.
No.
Cut it out. Lock them in a box. Lock yourself in a box. Definitely lock me in a box because Patron is after me. What's his name? Patton?
Bello.
Bello? What? Bello's is after me. Mm-hmm. So if anything happens, if anybody's telescoping me, if anyone plans to telescope me.
I just got chills.
At any time, make sure you keep a fucking bullhorn next to you.
Seriously.
How many amps does it need to reach across a river?
Right?
Research it. Be prepared. I think we need to telescope me.
To telescope companies and make them sell blowhorns with their telescope with, just to be safe.
With the corresponding distance of sound versus sight. Whatever that is. Light waves versus sound waves. The same amount.
Right.
Okay. River, at least crossing a river amount of sound. And you need to test the wind. You need to test, you know, rivers are windy. Right. Yes. That shit's going to cross the gorge. It's got to be very powerful bullhorn. So sign that change.org petition when you're signing the chowmanlane.org petition.
We got to go eat our beetos, man.
Lauren's literally texting me right now that my food's here. We love you guys.
Love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.